Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
We're turning now to the issue of detecting new COVID-19 variants. While the B117 or the Kent strain is currently dominant here in Ireland, 6 cases of the mutation that originated in Brazil have been found, and 15 of the strain first identified in South Africa have also been detected. There has been a significant increase in genome sequencing in the Republic in recent months, with 15% of all positive COVID-19 cases now being sequenced. That's up from 1%. But the UK has been a leader in this area since the pandemic began. The COVID-19 Genomics Consortium, or COG UK as it's known, has generated almost half of the coronavirus genomes sequenced in the whole world. Justin O'Grady is a deputy director of this body and also professor of microbiology at Quadram Institute in the UK. And he joins me now in the line. And thank you, Justin, for taking the time to talk to us this evening. As I say, you and your colleagues have led the way on this throughout the pandemic and from the beginning of the pandemic. How did that come about, your group?
Well, it was back in March last year that Professor Sharon Peacock put together a group of people. So a group of 12 academic sites and the public health agencies from across the UK and the Sanger Institute. So all got together and decided to start sequencing the virus at scale. And we started in April last year.
And what percentage of positive cases are being sequenced at this stage?
So that varies, but it's increased over time and it's up around 10% now.
And is that what you will be aiming for? Is that what you'll be hoping to get to?
Yeah, it's going to increase, and it will probably, you know, move from an academic endeavour as it has been to date to a public health agency delivered service in the future. And I think they will start to push up in terms of the coverage that they get, from probably kind of where we're at now up to, you know, maybe 40-50% as they move forward.
So you see then that there is a real future and a future need for the work that you're doing, despite the fact that obviously the vaccines are being rolled out globally. You don't see that will negate the need for genome sequencing?
I think this is when genome sequencing is even more necessary, and that's because detecting positives and telling someone if they have the virus or not is will be less important as vaccines are being rolled out. People will still contract SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19, when they're vaccinated. It's just that they will far fewer people will get severe disease. So there will be fewer people who get it, but some people still will. And so just being told that you have it isn't really as important as being told, do you have a variant that might lead might not be recognized by your your immune system, whether that be natural immunity or vaccine immunity.
And is that because there's a potential that you could in future catch a variant that your vaccine or whatever you've been vaccinated for might not work against?
Yes, so your immunity recognizes, like the vaccines get your body to recognize the spike protein, and the spike protein is a certain conformation at the moment, and these new mutations can change that and make your body not able to recognize that spike protein anymore, and therefore you can get infected and have possibly more that can lead to a proportion of people having the more serious infection like we're used to seeing now.
You spotted mutations in the virus very early on. I know we all talk now about the B117 because that's obviously the most concerning at this point and the one that's dominant here and in the UK. But back in March 2020, the virus was mutating.
Well, the virus was mutating from the first time that it entered humans, and it mutates at around 2 mutations per month. So the viral genome is about 30,000 nucleotides long, so 30,000 letters, shall we say, and then 2 of those change every month or so. So we've been watching it evolve over time. It's just a lot of the time these mutations don't make changes that have an effect on the biology of the virus, but sometimes they do. And so the mutations that occur in the spike protein are the ones that we worry about most, and particularly, obviously, the mutations that make changes to the proteins. And the one that's, you know, we're most worried about at the moment is this E484K mutation. And that's the mutation that we think allows the virus to escape the immunity given from vaccinations and natural immunity from other variants.
And sorry now, I know we're all trying not to associate variants with countries, but that's how most people, I think, understand where they're coming from. So is the E484K variant, is that the South African one or the Brazilian one or another one?
Well, it's both of those. So both the Brazilian one and the South African one have E484K. But the, for example, in Bristol, not that long ago, they found the Kent variant with an additional E484K mutation. So any variant with E484K, and that, they can arise at any time. In fact, I think last month, February, there were three variants under investigation at Public Health England with E484K mutations that were not the Brazilian or the South Africa lineage. The good news is that the B1.1.7 lineage, the one from Kent and the one that dominates here in the UK and in Ireland, that does not have a negative effect on the vaccines. You know, it will not escape vaccine your immunity built up from the vaccination. So that's good. That's a good thing.
And yet the variants that we associate with South Africa and Brazil, we're told the current vaccines aren't as effective with them, and yet there aren't any signs of those variants surging here or in the UK, like the degree that we've seen the B117. Any idea why that is?
Well, I would say it's because when B1.1.7 came along, it was competing against versions of the virus that weren't as highly transmissible as it is. So it was able to spread really quickly and dominate in both Ireland and the UK and further afield, Denmark, etc. But now, when these other variants come along, which are equally as transmissible, they don't really have a major advantage over the Kent variant, and therefore they're not spiking or peaking so quickly.
All right, really interesting. We will follow your work with interest, and thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's Justin O'Grady, who's Deputy Director of that particular body, the COG UK, and also Professor of Microbiology at Quadrum Institute in the UK.